On our morning show today, we put the spotlight on the Gospel to Haiti benefit. It's the 12th annual benefit auction coming up this very weekend here in Richland Center. And Darwin Hostetler joins us on the program. And we'll also introduce you to Mollis Menvial, who will be here talking about Haiti. That's where he is from. We'll hear his story in just a little bit. Darwin, here we go again. Looks like you've got great support for this auction.
Yeah, thanks, Phil, for having us again. We're excited about hosting the 12th annual benefit auction another time. And yes, some looks like an exciting weekend and some nice things.
We're reading a good forecast, too.
So. Yes, yes. I think we're trusting that the rain is going to let us go.
Well, we saw you in the Rodeo Dairy Days parade, and you had highlighted some of those items. And maybe you could talk a little bit about some of the items that will be up for bid this weekend.
Yes, we have some really, really nice items from small to big. You know, big items for everyone. You know, starting out with a bake sale. You know, everybody needs that. A couple of good pies or whatever. You know. Then moving right up to some of the bigger items, you know, we have donated a 30 by 40 machine shed pole building, you know, that is an excellent excellent item for someone that's looking for a building, with 100% of the proceeds going to Haiti, you know, to help the cause. And so that's wonderful.
How does that work then, Darwin? Is that one that somebody comes and builds at your place?
Yes. Or? Yeah. Someone, all you need is the site that's ready.
Okay.
And they come in and build the building for you.
Who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, who wouldn't want that? Yeah, exactly.
Make room for it.
And, you know, the nice thing about that is we have numerous local contractors that have come together to donate their portion of this building: metal, lumber, windows, doors, all these things. And so makes it a 100% donation, so that all of the money actually goes to where it needs to go. So, and then we have tractors and lawnmowers and toys. We have a really nice toy lineup coming. You know, we'll sell some toys on Friday evening. We'll sell toy tractors for probably close to an hour on Saturday.
Is it hard not to take them out and play with those tractors, Darwin?
The kids always want to play with them. Yeah, and there's some for everyone. You know, there's some cheaper ones that are sandbox toys, you know, and then there's some collector toys, some really nice toys that are coming.
You've been doing this long enough, where does it kind of sell itself when you're going out looking for donations and looking
for care? Certainly gets easier, you
does
know.
It?
Gets easier, I think, every year. You know, people like to give, people are willing to give. They see you coming and they know it's this time of the year. And it's good.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your history with Haiti. When did you start thinking about going on missions to there?
Yeah, well, missions was always something that was close to my heart, something that I felt was a good thing for us to be involved in. It's you know, it's always good to be involved locally, and but then beyond that, foreign missions was always something that was close. You know, to me. But I made my first trip to Haiti in 99.
Okay. And what attracted you there? I mean, had you heard about it? Had you heard about the need?
Yeah, I had a friend that was there and, you know, and asked me if I wouldn't come help him out on a project that he had going. And so a group of us from this area went down, and that was my first trip. And I somehow left part of my heart there, and some 50, 60 trips later, you know, here I am.
Do you remember the first impression when you arrived there?
Oh, yes, I sure do. It was overwhelming. Yeah, it was overwhelming. You know, the poverty, just the different lifestyles, the culture was very different, probably much different from what I even expected.
And you've been going back and helping in various ways with building projects?
Yes. So, yeah, it's been building projects, administrative duties, you know, just watching the community there grow and change, and bringing help to the locals there. Yeah, it's been a powerful thing in my life.
I'm curious, do they know, the locals know, that you do this event back in Richland Center, Wisconsin?
Yeah, they do know. They don't, what do you say, Mollis? They know that we do these things, but they probably don't fully understand it.
Yeah, I don't think they understand all the details, what's involved in that. But I think most of the people who are involved in the mission in Haiti, they will know what's going on here because they'll see pictures of the action.
Miles, you were just a young guy when you first met Darwin.
I was.
Right. Yeah. So, and do you remember meeting those people for the first time? And
I don't remember him particularly, but I do remember a lot of people coming when I was pretty young, coming there. And yeah, I remember the people, how they received them, and the impact that had on the community. Yeah.
Tell us about your country, Miles. Tell us about Haiti, if you would.
Well, it's a country that's been struggling a lot. And I would say in my adult life, the last 5 years are the most difficult time for Haiti, starting from the end of 20 to 26, due to like the instability, political instability and gangs activity. And a lot of people had to leave their houses, their community where they live. A lot of businessmen just leave the country. I mean, it's really tough. A lot of people, even right now, are still living in the streets. And I don't know if you heard of that the president was assassinated in 2021. And since then, I would say that the country hasn't really back on track as far as how it should be. So it's really a dark time for them. And I think through that, what the mission is doing has been very, very, very huge, you know. Because especially in the area where we work, it's like a remote area. It's not in big city. And most of the time, those places, they are forgotten by the government. So I think what the mission is doing, it's tremendous.
And you have a brother, I understand, who is a pastor?
Yeah, he's a pastor working with the mission, yeah.
So a lot of it goes through his church then?
Yes, I mean, but he does have some other churches that works with him. I think it's like 4 or 5 churches going.
Yes.
Yeah. But the church where my pastor is, my brother is, that's the main church. Like, that's connected with the mission.
You mentioned gangs and things going on in the streets and that kind of thing. Is it a safe space to be a part of the church, or how?
The area where the mission is localized, I would say it's pretty safe. But
okay.
Together, I mean, sometimes it's difficult because in the past people fly to Port-au-Prince, but now because of the instability, and so we have to take a different route, fly to Kai, and from Kai driving. I mean, it's kind of make it more difficult to get there, but it's safe where the mission is operating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. we've not felt unsafe at any time, but we avoid certain places. You know, there's certain places that a white person or a Haitian, but most people just wouldn't want to go because it's not safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Similar to our country in some cities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. There are certain places in, you know, Chicago that I wouldn't want to go, I suppose, either.
Right, exactly. So the main mission for you is just to kind of get some resources and buy medical supplies then?
Yeah, my main role is just administrative things stateside to make sure, you know, I do some of the recruiting. I help, I find staff that volunteer their time there. From here, from the States, they go down for a year to 3 years at a time, and I find those, and I just administratively, mostly making sure things run smoothly.
It's not just the Richland Center thing, though, right?
It's quite wide. Yeah, our support comes from a lot of different places. Yeah, it's much bigger than what I can carry. So
it's quite a commitment to commit to a year or 3 years of your life to go and help, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Especially we have I think right now I have 2 RNs that went to school, you know, to get their RN training specifically because they wanted to serve on a foreign field, and so they're doing that with as a volunteer for 2 years at a time. So.
And your background is in medical too, isn't it?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yeah. Yeah.
And in what way? I mean, you went to medical school then?
I went to medical school in the DR and came here, got trained, and be a nurse practitioner. So that, yeah, I work as a nurse practitioner. Yeah. So I'm still involved in the clinic that they have down there in Haiti, like with staff meetings sometimes. And I usually go once a year, just go there and help. Yeah.
So. And you're going back this summer, right?
Yes, I'm going. Yeah, I'm going in July. So I'm taking down in July team. We're going to organize like mobile clinic. Yeah, for a couple of days, maybe 2 days, but we'll spend like 15 days down there, like in July.
And when you go there, do people, how far do people come, you know, maybe on average to come for care?
Oh, so we have a clinic. I mean, people will come from 4 or 5 hours away just to come to the clinic because that's the best clinic they have in the area where they live. So people will walk like 4 or 5 hours to come. Now it's the average. In the clinic, we see average 150 patients a day.
A day?
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. We need not complain about waiting room times here in our country. My goodness. So what are some common things that you treat when you're there?
So there's a lot of infectious diseases down there, like skin infection, urine infection, like pneumonia, anemia, a lot of that, a lot of malaria, which is very endemic for Haiti, hypertension, diabetes. I mean, all sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is good water, clean water, an issue?
It is an issue for the mountain people. Yeah, it is. I think for the whole Haiti, it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you have to buy it. It costs money. So, mm-hmm. But more for the mountain people, yeah, it is an issue there. Yeah.
Talk about the differences, because now, I mean, people might have met you at the Richland Hospital, right?
Yes.
You've been working there some as well. Lots of differences between our country and Haiti, right?
It is a lot, yeah. It's sometimes hard to explain. I mean, you will have to experience both sides to really, so you can really talk about it, really understand it. Yeah, it's really wide, the difference.
But you remember the culture shock when you came here for the first time?
It wasn't really shocking in a sense because, I mean, I wasn't here physically, but I was living in a foreign country before, so I kind of know what to expect. Yeah, but it is, it's one thing that you heard about something, you see it, then leave it. Yeah, there's, but I would not say it was really, really shocking.
When we look about some things that you're raising money for, you know, talk about 150 people a day, Darwin. That's just incredible.
And yeah, it is. It is a lot of people, and I think probably we're like at the clinic. I think we hire. There's probably. I should have actually asked them the count. You know, there's between 15 and 20. Staff, the Haitian staff that we hire and employ there to keep that all running. And that includes doctors, nurses, cleaners, you know, whatever. But yeah, in order to keep it going. Then we have American staff that volunteer their time. But that's on top of that. We have Haitian staff that we employ, that we pay to be there and work.
So you have to pay them. They have to have salaries.
Yes,
obviously.
Exactly.
That's where some of the money goes.
Yes.
But the people that go over with you are all volunteers.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. That people are willing to do that. I guess there's a calling for it, right?
Yes, yeah. Some people volunteer their time, and some people come to the auction and buy things.
Right. Which they can do that this weekend. Yeah. Maybe, Darwin, you and I can kind of go through the timeline of events
for this
weekend and talk about what's going to be going on at the Haiti Benefit Auction. It's at the fairgrounds. You're kind of getting settled in there. I mean, it was at the former grounds where the hospital is being built eventually. You've been at the fairgrounds now for a few years.
Yes, we've been at the fairgrounds. It's a good move. It's a nice place. Facility is nice out there. We really appreciate what they do for us. And how that facilitates all that we need to do, and people know where it is. They can find it, you know, easily, and all that. It works very nice.
So it starts out on Friday night. What time will you get underway?
Yes, Friday evening is the fish fry and chicken. There's chicken barbecue as well. We're kind of we're known for our catfish. We have, you know, fresh catfish that gets fried up that night, and that all starts at we start at 4, go to 7:30. We have there's a drive through for people that need to run and go, but they can drive through and get their meal.
There'll be signs there where people
and there'll can be signs direct there. It. Then there's parking there as well for the people that want to hang out. You know, people that want to come because we do have a flower auction that evening as well, and miscellaneous things. Actually, will be some toys and a few other things selling that night as well, kind of getting mixed in with the flowers. So that happens. That starts around 6, and that will, yeah, that includes all the, you know, the flowers, the goodies. Then between 8:30 there somewhere, we're doing, we have a singing group again, local men from church that are doing a singing program. So that'll be at the end of the auction on Friday night.
Good. Yeah, I mean, if somebody can't make it to the auction on Saturday, you got a little bit of a
they have a little bit of time.
Show.
Yes,
yeah,
they do. They can Friday come night. And they can come and spend an evening there. There's usually a lot of people there that show, and that's good. The community has supported us well, so they're invited, and there'll be enough fish.
What time does it get underway on Saturday then, Darwin?
Then on Saturday around 9 o'clock, when the auction starts. And that'll roll pretty much, take us most of the day.
Stuff for kids all day?
Yep, be barrel rides, barrel train rides, I think bounce house, numerous things like that. Get kids occupied a bit. And there's good food. There's Haitian food, there's American food on Saturday. Plus the bake sale, they can buy pies, they can buy, all the goodies.
Great. Haitian, what are you looking forward to as far as Haitian food, Mollis?
Oh, there's what they call Haitian pate.
What is that?
It's a, how do you explain that, Darwin? It's more like flour. It's kind of like a fry marinade.
Yeah, it's something that they deep fat fry, mm-hmm. you know, and it's kind of something you hold in your hand, like a pocket bread almost or something there, I think.
That's what you're looking forward to the most.
Are.
Good stuff.
You can eat and run kind of that way.
Yeah. You'll be helping in a lot of ways, I'm guessing. And,
yeah, I do. I do help. I do help. My family goes every year. We have there.
And eat well. Not a loss for good bakers in the community.
Yeah, good food.
Good stuff. We'll take time out and come back with more about the 12th Annual Haiti Benefit Auction in a moment here on today's morning show. The 12th Annual Haiti Benefit Auction is going on this very weekend in Richland Center at the Richland County Fairgrounds. Friday and Saturday, the traditional Southern Mississippi catfish fry and barbecue chicken, which has become a fan favorite. In the studio with us, Darwin Hostetler and Mollis Menville, and we're talking about this benefit auction. First of all, Darwin, I want to give a shout out to G&A Tire and Repair. That's where a lot of your bigger items are parked.
Yeah, some of the bigger items. Items are parked there after the parade. We parked them in there, and we're very, very grateful that they let us display some of our donations there. It's very much appreciated, and yeah, if you have a chance to utilize their services over there, why do that?
And those items will be auctioned off on Saturday, is that correct?
Yes, they will be auctioned off on Saturday. Those are all some of the larger items, and they'll be auctioned off around noontime, between 12 and 1 on Saturday.
Let's talk about that spotlight on that tractor, that John Deere. That is a really kind of a rare tractor, isn't
it? Yeah, it's a really nice John Deere 70. It's a 1956 model. And I think one of the things that sets it apart, it's a John Deere 70, but it's a diesel. You didn't see a lot of those around. And this is a pretty nice restoration. Good rubber, runs well. It's just a really nice tractor.
Who does your restoration work for you?
Yeah, Mark Oberholzer from Hillsboro does our restoration every year. He does one for us.
Which one has been your favorite, or is this John Deere the one that you'd like to take home?
I'm not sure. I'm still waiting for the right one.
Is that right? A different brand, perhaps.
No. I think it might be green when that happens. We'll see.
Okay. So that's one of them that will be sold. I was really enamored by it. There's a picture on your poster of all the toys and the toy tractors. Where do you get those? Those just donated from people that have them in their collections then as well?
Most of them are donated by one individual locally here. one friend that likes to support the work, and he's into he does a lot of toys, and you know, as a hobby, and buys and sells a bit here and there, and so he kind of handpicks toys for us over the year that he wants to bring in, and this year one of his highlights is this 1970s somewhere John Deere toy. It's a toy skidder, John Deere skidder, nice, very nice, mint condition, that's never been played with, and so that's kind of one of the highlights for him, for us on the toy section this year. So that should get the attention of the loggers out there, you know, that enjoy toys. And
some of these toys are worth more than my two real tractors. And they probably have more horsepower, too.
Yeah, maybe so.
So, like the skidder, for instance, will that sell on Saturday, or is that a Friday night?
No, that'll be a Saturday deal there, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there are some other things you mentioned, yeah. the shed.
I think the toy tractors are selling around 11, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to pull that out of my memory now, but I think around 11 is when we sell the toy tractors.
So the key is, if you're interested in any of this, get there Saturday morning.
Yep, and get there, be there. You'll have fun all day.
Do you have a local auctioneer that does the work for
you?
Yeah,
we have about four auctioneers. Most of the auction, all of that is donated as well. There's no one charges for their auctioneering there. Good auctioneers, some are from Iowa, some are from here in Wisconsin. So
a lot of your church members, I'm sure they all have things to do, right?
They all have things to do, plus many others. Yeah, it gets to be pretty large. So, and we're very grateful for all the donors, local and otherwise, big or little. You know, sometimes people give something small, sometimes they give a little bigger. That's okay. We appreciate all of it, because it goes a long ways in a place like Haiti.
You've had some great years. I know the COVID years, it maybe slowed you down a little bit, but are you kind of back on track with your fundraising, Darwin?
Yeah, I think about probably like last year, probably about, I think we're doing okay. And yeah, we have some really good stuff.
So the money goes into the coffers, and then immediately goes into the medical supplies, and
yeah, medical supplies, food, transportation, you know, things all pertaining to, you know, maintaining the clinic, buying medicines, and so on. Yeah,
well, let's talk a little bit about the cost of living in Haiti in comparison. Somebody is working at the clinic, your remote clinic there, what would an average pay be for a day?
Be around $8-$10 a day, yeah.
And in comparison?
In comparison to here, but the cost of living is as high, because a lot of things that people use in Haiti are imported from different countries, like from the U.S. So therefore, I mean, the price is really, the cost of the living is high comparing to what they are making, so which makes life harder.
Uh-huh. And Darwin was mentioning during the break that, for instance, a gallon of diesel would be about $7.
Yes.
And so you'd almost work a whole day just for a gallon of fuel.
Basically.
That is crazy.
That's insane, yeah.
Yeah, it is. And what about food costs? Generally, do members of your family, I mean, do they have gardens? They kind of grow their own food as well, or?
Yeah, like people in the mountains where the mission is, a lot of them are farmers, but not as we call farmers here, because they have really small piece of land where they raise their own garden. But that's agriculture itself. It's not really enough to support the country, because it's not really mechanized or well organized. I mean, basically the country more rely on what's coming from foreign countries to buy than producing for their own people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So benefits like this are so important. You know, I'm sure you're grateful for the efforts.
I think, yeah, it is really, really, really important. And in the name of the Haitian people, I want to thank, you know, all the people that are involved in making that happen. And I think it's really a manifestation of love and sympathy and compassion. Like when you see a lot of people put together to do something like that for people they don't even know. People they will never probably meet, you know, in their own lives. And I think that's something really, really, really exciting to see. I mean, like, see the efforts being here. Mm-hmm. Not I hear about the action, but I can see what's happening, the work that's being done every day to make it happen. And I think that's really exciting. And also for the people that are helping every day, I think it's good for them to know, you know, what they are, where the money goes, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, the mission is involved in many things in Haiti. Like, we have a clinic, you know, we help people, like orphans who don't have any chance to have education, to go to school, to learn to read. So we do that. Sometimes the hurricane, Haiti is a country that affected a lot by hurricane, you know, so the mission happens, situation like that. If somebody, the house is destroyed, if somebody have a sick one, they need to transfer to a different hospital, the mission help with those things. I mean, it's a lot that we are doing there. It is a lot. And I think every spend, every dollar that's given, it's well, mm-hmm. well spent.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like there's a middle person that, you know, that like a high paid CEO that takes a lot of the money, right?
Yeah.
And what about your country, you know, in terms of down the road? Can you see things turning around for the country? And
well, I'm a Christian, so I always have hope, you know.
Yeah.
My hope is not in man, but because I know God's in control, he can always turn things around. So that's my hope, that people will understand, you know, the need of the country, especially those in power, and some kind of compassion and love for the one, for the poor people, mm-hmm. and just bring some changes in government and in life that people will benefit from that. That's my hope. I mean, I don't see any side of that right now, but I'm still hopeful that things will get better.
They could turn around.
Yeah.
Darwin, you know, there are a lot of other worthy causes that you could get behind. Why do you get behind this one?
Yeah, well, yeah, and I do. I get behind a few others too, but but Haiti is the one that probably where I left my heart, you know, many years ago, and so I do, and I've learned to see what it does. I've learned to see, you know, the needs and how much it actually helps. And you know, and it's exciting to be part of an organization that we don't put our money into big offices and salaries. We're able to work together and volunteering time and giving of time and service. You know, it's just really been a blessing to be able to be involved in a mission that I know where the funds go. You know, I'm personally the one that, you know, authorizes a lot of the funding to where it can be spent in certain places. And so I know it's a safe place, and I know that it's not just walking somewhere and filling somebody's pocket so they can live nice. And I know it's a needy place. And so, so I guess that's kind of just where I've been.
Mm-hmm. Are you going back anytime soon?
Yes, I have a trip planned for August. I'll be going back for another teaching seminar that I do for pastors.
And you go back sometimes a couple of times a year?
A couple times a year I go, yes.
Mm-hmm. So you're for pastors, kind of getting the word out about that? And
yes, we do. Every August I do a pastors' conference. Pastors and teachers get together for 3 days, and we do, several of us go down and we do teaching and so on, and encourage them in their journey in their churches.
Is there a language barrier?
Yeah. It somehow it isn't for Malas.
No, Malas
just flows right in.
He does.
You know? And yes, there is a language barrier. I know some of the language, not nearly all. I know enough to get me in trouble, but not enough to get me out of trouble. But yeah, I use a translator a lot when I'm there.
Uh-huh.
But,
good. Anything else either one of you would like to add here this morning?
Yeah, just a big thank you again, you know, to the community. You know, that just that extra bit sometimes, you know, we think about what it takes to make it all operate, and we think about the, you know, the opportunities in Haiti and the needs in Haiti, and, you know, whether someone spends a dollar or they spend $100, you know, it's all very valuable.
Yeah, it is.
Whether they come for fish or they come and buy a larger item or a basket of flowers, it all goes to to a very needy cause.
Sometimes you have surprises on that auction too, right, that aren't advertised?
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. There's many, many things that aren't necessarily listed here that I don't even know. I find out on Friday when things start coming in is when I, oh, this is here. Yeah, I like, we have a pair of really nice e-bikes that was donated and that'll be selling. That's not listed here on this at all, you know, there are some surprises that happen. So if somebody needs an e-bike or two, I'm sure there's a couple out there that need a, you know, a Friday evening spin on a bike. So
make a great deal. And lawn furniture. I know you have plenty of that.
There'll be lawn furniture there as well.
And things to bid on there. And yeah, your contending bidders are as important as the people that get it.
Yep, right? That's right. We always need two people.
Two people to be interested in one thing. Yeah. What's caught your eye, Mollis? What are you going to bid on?
I don't know yet. Maybe a Haitian mug. Coffee.
Yeah, a coffee mug.
Coffee mugs. Yeah. Okay. And, you know, for people that don't necessarily like, maybe I don't necessarily like crowds, you've got that drive-through, I think, that's really appealing, too.
Yes, so that's right.
That'll work out on Friday night. You'll start serving, again, the drive-through is open at the same time you start serving
that? Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So that's at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
Very good. Thanks for coming in today, gentlemen.
Thanks, Phil, very much for having us.
Good luck with your effort. Good to see you again.
Yeah, thank you.
The 12th Annual Haiti Benefit Auction going on this weekend, Friday and Saturday. It's at the Richland County Fairgrounds, County Highway AA. And again, if you want a sneak preview, some of the items are on display at G&A Tire and Repair. They're on Orange Street. You can drive by and take a look or maybe figure out what you want to spend on that big John Deere 70 diesel right there. This is the morning show. And again, thanks to Darwin Hostetler and Mollis Menville for being our guests.